With Amex Platinum, you can enjoy access to dedicated card member entrances at select events, because skipping the line makes you the star of game day. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Card member entrance access not limited to Amex Platinum card.
My favorite kind of show, Ian Fitzsimmons. Because we get to start with Dolphins news. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Now, it's not the Dolphins news I wanted, but it's frankly the Dolphins news I expected. But any excuse to talk about Miami Dolphins is a good day either way. At Ian Fitz, ESPN is how you find him. At Amber W Sports is how you find me on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Tua Tagovailoa, Ian, is now being placed on the IR. And frankly, this is something that I feel like the Dolphins should have done days ago. Now, I know they played on Thursday and it's the weekend and we got a lot of football news and there's no real reason for them to rush this decision, I guess. But the advantage of making this decision is now we know Tua is going to be out for at least 4 games. And I feel like, Ian, frankly, that's 4 weeks right there. He can just kind of go handle his business and do his thing and nobody has to think about it. And the Dolphins can move on for the time being.
Yeah, and I didn't mind them waiting, just the extra 3 or 4 days, just because now Tua can kind of get his bearings, get his inner circle around him, talk to them, talk to some docs. We saw the report yesterday that, a report that he is not planning on retiring. So this gives him another 4 weeks where Mike McDaniel doesn't have to answer questions. The players for the Miami Dolphins don't have to answer questions. Tua can be left alone because there is zero news for 4 weeks. So to me, it was a smart decision, and Tua can now really take some time to talk to his family, his friends, his docs, his inner circle, and see what his future truly is, whether it is with football or without football. Because I don't know if a lot of people realize this, Amber, in his new contract that he just signed, he, even with injury, there's a clause in there that he gets $167 million even if he doesn't play another snap. So financially, he's beyond secure.
So well, that's not entirely true. That's only if he's declared medically unable to play. That's where those guarantees come into effect.
Didn't see the fine print.
The problem with concussions is what we know of concussions anyways, what it seems like we know from the research, is that there's a cumulative effect and that they end up affecting you later in life, right? The problem is for the guarantees to kick in, and this is true for any of these NFL injury guarantees that we're talking about here, and even the players that don't have the injury guarantees that are just somewhat protected in terms of a percentage of their salary under the CBA, because the CBA itself has some of those built-in protections for players, but that's only applicable if in fact you cannot play and perform your duties whatsoever. So it would need to be some sort of catastrophic injury that prohibits you right now today from playing football, not something that ends up affecting you a little bit later in life or down the road until you choose to walk away. And that's what we'd be talking about with Tua. We haven't seen that much in the NFL. Most of these guys, they're built different. The way that they are as competitors, very few of them choose to walk away from the game before the game walks away from them. Andrew Luck is the exception to that rule. So he's the one that most people point to. He chose to walk away. The Colts did him a solid there. They went ahead and settled with him. They let him keep his entire signing bonus and then some, I believe. I don't have the numbers in front of me. They didn't have to do any of that. They were doing him a solid with Andrew Luck because he had given so much to the franchise and they felt like they wanted to do the right thing. And they are able to do that and work out a settlement with the player without it counting against the cap. So there is a scenario in which the Dolphins could do that, but they would not have to if he decided to walk away. In fact, if he decided to walk away, he'd be giving it up everything. Even the signing bonus that he's already been paid out, theoretically speaking, he would need to pay it back.
These guys are built differently. They are. They all want to go out on top. They all want to, go out John Elway style, hoisting the Lombardi and riding off into the sunset. That is the exception to the rule. Chris Spielman told me years and years ago, the outstanding linebacker for the Detroit Lions, Buffalo Bills, and then finally in his hometown with the Cleveland Browns, that the only way he was going to leave the field was standing up. And he, at the end, remember, he had that awful neck injury. He's lying on the field in Cleveland, and he basically told the trainers, don't even think about bringing a stretcher out here, and stood up, walked off the field. That was the only way that he was going to leave the game, because pride runs deep with these guys. The trainer's like, you can't move right now. And he's like, watch me, right? He was not going to be left on the field. And they're just wired differently. So I understand if Tua wants to come back and give it another go after four concussions, three in the NFL, one cost him a season. He had one, obviously, at Alabama.
That's four official. And we know that there was another one in the NFL.
My daughter has three official. There's no doubt in my mind there's one or two other ones in there. I mean, I've had three that are documented, but we grew up in that era of you got your bell rung, right, and get back in there. You know, get a little smelling salt and whoop, get back on the field.
I mean, get jacked up used to be a segment on our airwaves for a reason.
Oh, yeah. I saw a video from, I think it was 1988, the NFL, and the NFL films. Every hit, it was about a three-minute highlight video. Every single play, every one of them would be a flag today.
Yep.
Whether it was a horse collar, helmet to helmet, launching, you name it. It's a different game, but the mentality of the player has not changed.
Right. It hasn't, because they're still true competitors. And I think that unlike most professions, this particular profession you start pursuing for a lot of these guys at 6 years old. You know, most of us, sure, we'll have childhood dreams. You know, I always dreamed of being in this business and doing this exact thing for ESPN, but I didn't actually get a chance to pursue it until I was an undergrad, right? And I started majoring in journalism and going after it. I wasn't spending my entire life trying to go after this one dream. These guys are spending quite literally their entire lives. So it's not just a profession. It's not just a livelihood. It's their entire identity tends to be wrapped up in it. Now, there's a lot of former players that came out immediately on Twitter and all over social, and they're calling on our airwaves, and they're calling for Tua to retire. And I do think some of that is the perspective of the former player knowing there's life after football. But the dude in his mid-20s who's in the midst of it, I don't know if they always have that perspective. And then there's hundreds of millions of dollars on the line on top of that. And we're expecting him to just walk away from all of that, your entire life's work and hundreds of millions of dollars for something that we don't fully understand and may or may not affect you later in life. That's a tall ask for any young person to grapple with. So he's got at least four games to do that now. He's got at least some time. He said that he's not going to retire. I mean, the reports are out there that he is not considering retiring. We'll see if he changes his mind here. But I do think from the Dolphins' perspective, it was important to go ahead and put him on the IR so that they also don't have to answer all the questions every single day at practice and after every game, and everything's about Tua when he's not even there. They need to move on with the game plan for Skylar Thompson and Tyler Huntley.
No doubt about it. And Antonio Pierce, head coach of the Raiders, said he would if Tua called him, he'd tell him to retire. So it's not just former players. You have a current coach who is also a former player, saying, hey, if he called me, that's exactly what I would tell him. But it's not about what we think he should do. It's all about what he wants to do. I know what I would do, but that could be something completely different than what Tua wants to do. Now, it's not just the Dolphins dealing with injuries.
No.
You also have San Francisco, the Niners, coming off a very tough defeat where they could not protect Brock Purdy. It was a beatdown in Minnesota, not just on the field, but also off the field, where they're already without CMC for at least another three games with that calf Achilles tendonitis injury. Now you have Deebo Samuel, who's going to miss some time, and he is critical to that offense, especially, Amber, with the way Brandon Ayuk has struggled. He was a big topic during the entire offseason. He gets a big contract, and he has struggled in the first 2 weeks. Deebo has not, but he ain't going to be out there for the next few weeks.
Also a calf for Deebo. He sustained that injury in Sunday's loss against Minnesota. He's going to miss at least a couple weeks. He's not being placed on the IR, so I feel like that's good news ultimately for the 49ers. At least he hasn't been yet. CMC, like you mentioned, is in fact on the IR, so we know he's out for at least that period of time. With CMC, it's also a calf, but with CMC, we keep hearing the word Achilles thrown around.
Tendonitis.
Achilles tendonitis, but
no
Achilles anything.
No
Achilles anything is not good. It's like, is that thing about to rupture? Is he just one pivot away, from one juke away, one wrong move away from that thing rupturing? I don't know. They're obviously going to let it calm down. We're not hearing the word Achilles with Deebo Samuel. We're just hearing calf. So I feel like maybe that 49ers fans can take some solace in that. But the injuries around the NFL feel like they're adding up. The Rams are going to be missing their entire team.
Oh.
This weekend, you know, I'm not sure that it's more unusual than any other season, frankly. I think sometimes we just notice it when it's the bigger names that are involved across the game. And we don't see those guys in the preseason the way that we used to. So some of those injuries do make an appearance here. Early in the regular season.
A.J. Brown, Keenan Allen, yep. Half the damn St. Louis Rams starting offense. I mean, you know, now Deebo Samuel with a calf, CMC, because it's monster names.
Yeah, some of the biggest names in the game.
That are having soft tissue injuries. You know where I want to go with it, and that is lack of being leathered and calloused in camp and in the preseason. We see it every year. But maybe it's just a fugazi where – it's just because of the enormity of the name that it feels like there's more guys than they're normal in the first 2 weeks.
Be a part of Amber and Ian Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Call us 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. College football, it's a pepper thing. Coming up next year on Amber and Ian, we're going to stick with the NFL, though. We've got to talk a little bit about how that Monday Night Football game ended. Who is to blame? That's all headed your way right here on ESPN Radio.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
It's basketball season, baby. When you're playing with BetMGM, you don't need to be 7 feet tall with a 7 foot wingspan to get into the action. Oh, you're betting with the big boys now. I'm talking over points, under assists, and exact rebounds all day. Fade away jumper from the left wing hitting nothing but net type of vibe. This basketball season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. or New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Arizona called 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts 1-800-327-5050. Iowa 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico called 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
That is I Am Thorb. I Am _ Thorb on Instagram. His week 2 NFL recap. How'd you like how we ended that there, James? Is it the Chiefs or the refs? Is it the Chiefs or the refs? I thought that was poetic.
It's fine. I don't know. I mean, we know that it's the Chiefs, so...
I don't think we all know it's the Chiefs.
I think the smart people know it's the Chiefs.
Yeah, well, a little help from the men in stripes as well. So
don't commit penalties. That's all I'm saying. If you don't want to be called for a penalty, don't commit one.
So if you want to check out more of that, I am _ Thorb on Instagram. He always, every week, brings an NFL recap. They are all hot fire. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more, all at progressive.com. So, Ian, after blowing 3 games last year, the Eagles led with 2 minutes left. 3 games. They did that last season with 2 minutes left. They did it again last night on Monday Night Football in front of the eyes of the nation. A nightmare last minute. They took a 6-point lead with 65 seconds left. They turned it off of what looked like, oh, we're going to have a dramatic comeback. And then it turns into a horrifying 22-21 loss there at the hands of the Atlanta Falcons. Kirk Cousins needed 65 seconds to drive the Falcons 70 yards for a game-winning touchdown in that game. Who's to blame, Ian, for the collapse that is the Philadelphia Eagles last night?
Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
It was a brilliant play call. Dial it up. 3rd and 3. Atlanta has no timeouts. Get the first down. Game's over. And that's a pass he's caught how many, 1,000 times?
It's also a pass he's dropped 17 times.
But still, I mean, you put it right in his hands. You paid a lot of money to make that play. It was wide open. Jalen Hurts put it right on him. Catch the football. I thought it was a brilliant play call, And anybody saying that's on Nick Sirianni, look, if Saquon Barkley catches the ball, you're going, what a brilliant play call by Kellen Moore. You know, great job by Sirianni not to override it. Instead, you know, Murphy's Law happened. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And now you have people second-guessing it. It's a cheap second guess, in my opinion. If Saquon catches that football, not one person is questioning that call by Kellen Moore. The offensive coordinator started with the Cowboys, then went to the Chargers, now with the Eagles. I thought it was a brilliant call. Catch the damn ball. You're paid to do it. You didn't. Coaches, in my opinion, are blamed far too often in instances like this. Every now and then, players have to be held accountable to do their job. Saquon didn't, and you know what? Neither did the defense, because they had to go the length of the field, Amber. The length of the field in order to, what, 80 yards, what, 75 yards in order to have the comeback happen. So not only was it Saquon, but the defense also gave up the honey, as you mentioned, in 65 seconds.
Ding, ding, ding. That's the one for me, frankly, is the defense. Now, I know that was a really aggressive play call there by, I think, really, Kellen Moore deserves the credit or the criticism there, however you want to see that, with that being the play call. You have to know, though, with an aggressive play call like that, where if he doesn't catch it, the clock stopped, which is the opposite of what you want, that you are running the risk, in fact, of the clock stopping. And you going after the field goal and the rest is history and them having 70 seconds to go down the field. But really, it's the defense at that point that should be able to stop a Kirk Cousins that through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season has not looked like he can move very well. And still, ease. And I thought it was really interesting on the Manning cast. The Manning brothers are talking about how easy a 2 minute type offense is, that's actually, so when you are apparently ingratiating yourself to an entirely new system and an entirely new team, like we know Kirk Cousins is here these first couple weeks of the season, he's getting comfortable there in Atlanta. Apparently it's that 2 minute offense that becomes the easiest and most basic one to learn, because also you're not thinking and you're not overthinking. And those are the plays that everybody's most familiar with. And those are the plays that you start practicing day one of training camp. And so that was part of their analysis was, of course, Kirk is going to look his best in this exact situation where they do only have 70 seconds to go down the field. That onus is on that defense. That defense has not looked good for Philadelphia, and it ends up catching up with them and I think, frankly, costing them the game. Now, Saquon did take the blame after the game like you wanted him to. Here is Saquon Barkley, the Eagles running back, in the locker room after this one.
Let my team know today. Shouldn't have put the defense in that position. We made that catch, game's over. Relax, get back to my old habits, and just got to go back and get back to work.
But Sirianni is not just putting the blame, obviously, on his running back. He's putting the blame on everyone. Here is the head coach of the Eagles.
Yeah, you know, they made a couple more plays than we did down the stretch. You know, we made some plays. They made more. You know, that's on all of us. That starts with coaching and goes to the, you know, to the players. We're all responsible for the loss. That's how close games are in this league, right? To 22-21. Sometimes it just comes down to a couple plays, but it's never just one play. It's never just that play, because all the plays equal up to, you know, to the win or to the loss.
Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. So it's not just that one play. It's obviously the entire body of work there, Ian. And it may not have even been Sirianni's call. We know that it's Kellen Moore that is making those play calls and being the buffer between Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. But here's the deal. It's Sirianni's job we're going to end up talking about. Off of this loss, we were talking about it coming into this season. I think that's wholly unfair for this head coach. But nonetheless, it's going to be a topic of discussion.
Yeah. Hey, Kellen Moore, the head coach, hears every call. He knows. You know, and he has been a play caller.
Is he going to override? You're not going to override your OC, are you?
The head coach cannot in a heartbeat. I've heard those stories a million times from coordinators where they send a play in and the coach jumps in. Run it.
Yeah.
And they go, okay, he's the boss. You know, you might
but
have a quick exchange.
Too, that's
trust
a
me
standard.
Here, coach. You might have a quick one like, trust me, coach. All right, it's on you. Meaning, hey, if this doesn't work,
everyone's
going to know
about it.
Barbecue your butt molasses at that podium, right, if this thing doesn't work. Right?
I don't know what happened. Kellen called the wrong play is what happened.
But those conversations happen all the time. And to your point about the defense, I mean, it was a 70-yard drive. It was six plays, five completions. And it was systematic. Done.
It was the best Kirk Cousins has looked this entire season, which isn't saying much.
They found Drake London on two of those. Thank you, Lance Taylor, that we hit that prop bet. Thanks to LT from the
made you some money last night here on Amber and Ian.
We did. He went 3-0. We appreciate it. If you were listening, you made some cash. But look, this is one that's going to linger on the palate of every Eagles player, every Eagles coach, every Eagles fan all week. For the players, they'll turn that nasty taste into anger. But right now, it's going to be a long, long week in Philadelphia.
Which I don't know about that penalty, by the way, on Drake London after the touchdown. But he scored with 38 seconds left. It is ridiculous, right? Is that like some blanket rule because he was imitating a gun, I guess, or so to speak?
He was on the field and not off the field, I think is what it was.
I don't know. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Dan Graziano. Who is to blame for the collapse in Philadelphia? That's headed your way right here on ESPN Radio.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Of NFL news to unpack, Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Let's bring in Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider. And Graz, the news of the day, the latest news of the day, I should say, is that Tua Tagovailoa, he has been placed on the IR by the Miami Dolphins. That means that he's going to miss at least four games, as we know, although I've been hearing no timetable for a return. Why did this take a little bit for them to make this decision, and where did this come from? Why was this the ultimate decision?
Well, I mean, look, it's Tuesday. They played Thursday. He had the weekend, and they had the weekend in the early part of the week to figure out what they wanted to do. I think ultimately this decision makes a lot of sense because it buys everyone time, right? To the extent that he needs to consult with more doctors, more neurologists, get a fuller and clearer picture of what his situation is, having had three diagnosed concussions here in the last couple of calendar years. You don't have the pressure now, right? Like if you don't put him on IR, then I think every week you're going to be having to answer questions about, you know, from people covering the team, from people running the team, from the player, perhaps, you know, how's it looking in terms of a return table? So now you don't, like you have 4 weeks where it's irrelevant. Like by rule, he cannot play, for the next 4 weeks. So, I think it's good that they just need more time to kind of get their arms around this situation and figure out what the potential timetable is for him to return to play, if he wants to do that, and all those other, you know, major life decisions that he and his family have to make, not to mention, you know, ultimately if he decides he does want to come back, you know, the team. So it's just a matter of abundance of caution, which is all anybody really would want in this case.
Stay with injuries. What's the latest involving San Francisco, where we know they're out without Christian McCaffrey for at least the next three games? Now Debo Samuel is banged up. What are you hearing out in San Francisco?
Yeah, Debo, calf injury. Obviously calf injuries are tricky. We see it with lingering with Christian McCaffrey. We see it lingering with Russell Wilson. We remember Joe Burrow beginning of last year. So, look, there's no way to really predict it. It is good. It's a good sign that they haven't put him on injured reserve, because that means they're hoping he can get back before 4 weeks are up. So that indicates that maybe not as serious. So we'll keep an eye on that, obviously. But Kyle Shanahan, the head coach, did say that he expected Debo to miss a couple of weeks. Now, you know, what does that mean? Two, three, four, who knows? But unless and until they put him on IR, there is obviously hope that he comes back sooner than the 4 weeks.
Are we seeing an unusual amount of injuries at this point in the season?
I don't know. Like, honestly, like, I think there are a lot. There's a concentration of injuries among certain groups. Like a lot of these guys that are getting hurt seem to be fantasy relevant. And I think that, for better or for worse, that gets more attention. Seriously, though, I mean, yeah. It does. I think people pay attention on a different level. The L.A. Rams, you know, may not have 11 guys to play this week. Like, they're struggling. They're so ravaged by injuries. So I think it could very well be coincidental. But honestly, we've tried this throughout the years. Oh, is this an unusual number of injuries for this time of year coming out of camp, et cetera? It's very hard to assess, looking back, you know, over the years, how serious the injuries were. And you know, how many games missed by significant players. It does feel like a lot, but I do feel like it's not the first September since I've been covering the NFL where these questions have been asked.
ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano joining us here, as he does every Tuesday on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. And Graz, a ton of people are discussing who the hell deserves the blame for last night. It's gone on now into today. It'll go on into the evening and probably all week in Philadelphia. Is it Nick Sirianni? Is it Kellen Moore? Is it Saquon Barkley? I'm going Saquon Barkley. Yeah. Catch the damn football. We're not having this conversation. Where do you side?
I'm with you. I mean, look, I think, you know, you can second-guess coaching decisions. I always feel like it's to the coach's benefit to be as transparent as possible about the thought process because, like, you know, hey, I'm not insulting you by asking. Like, I'm giving you credit. You had a reason. I'd like to know what it was. But this is what they chose to do, so we're left to speculate. But no, fundamentally, what we know, what we saw, is a $12.5 million a year running back who was supposed to elevate them to Super Bowl champion status from what they were last year and even the year before, drop a very catchable ball that would have iced the game. And to his credit, he owned it. He said, I mean, like, no excuses or anything. Like, I got to catch that ball, and I didn't. So I think, you know, if he catches it, they get at least the first down. They at least run the clock down. They might have scored a touchdown there to put the game away. So you bring in Saquon Barkley to elevate your team to something special, he has to be able to do something as basic as that.
You also have to know, though, with Saquon Barkley, he likes to sometimes drop catchable balls. It's sort of his thing. Dan Graziano joining us here on Amber and Ian. Is Sirianni on the hot seat from what happened last night or at all, or do you think we make too much of that?
I think anytime you see a situation where all the coordinators got let go and replaced in an offseason, as is the case in Philadelphia, then it's very natural to assume, and often very accurate, that if things don't go better this time around, then the head coach is the one who pays the price. I think that's the pattern we've seen throughout history. So I don't think that we're talking about a week-to-week situation or an in-season situation. I think the Eagles expect to be very good this year, and I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be. It's two games in. But if we get to the end of the season and a lot of the same issues are showing up and they don't improve or they have a sort of a mediocre year or, you know, losing the first round of the playoffs, something along those lines, that is a spot that I believe we will be watching for potential change. And that's as definitive as I can be right now with 15 games left in the season. I think Nick Sirianni is under a lot of pressure to win this year. And if he doesn't, I think there will be some discussions around his job status. But I don't think those discussions are going on here as we open up week three.
You talk to everybody around the NFL. How many people get? I try. You do. How many people gave you a hint, an inkling of, hey, Graz, watch out for the New Orleans Saints this year,
dude? like, honestly, like, I thought this was they were going to be terrible. Like, I mean, I have been wrong about stuff in my life. This is Hall of Fame wrong. Like they are the opposite. Like, I thought, oh, that offensive line is a mess. It'll sink everything. They look fantastic. I was there in Dallas on Sunday, and they just boat raced them. And look, it's a new coordinator in Clint Kubiak who's installed an offensive system that incorporates a lot of pre-snap motion, a lot of stuff they haven't done in New Orleans in a couple of decades. I'm not exaggerating. And I think the players are really enjoying it. I think it's fun, right? Like, I talked to their tight end, Juwan Johnson, last week, and he said, you know, like, look, we went from not moving at all to moving on pretty much every play. It's exciting. And when we see it put the defense on its heels, then it really, really gets you fired up to want to continue it. Alvin Kamara was upset about his contract all offseason, didn't get a new one, and still showed up because he was so excited to be like the Christian McCaffrey of the New Orleans Saints, which on Sunday he absolutely was. So look, there's a continue. Somebody got to figure it out. They're not going to score 45 points every game. But yes, they look great. They look really good on defense. Their edge rushers are playing well. And it's neat to see. I always like being surprised.
I guess it is fun to score over 90 points in the first 2 weeks alone. Groz joining us here on Amber and Ian. I want to go back to the Dolphins, to my Dolphins, because I'm shameless here for a minute, Groz. They signed Tyler Huntley. At the time, McDaniel made it really clear that that's just a depth move to put somebody behind Skylar Thompson. Do we believe that? And is there still any move to be made here at quarterback for the Dolphins now that Tua's on the IR?
Well, I think, you know, a lot is going to depend on how extent. Like, if he's going to miss, you know, the next four games, then they probably can get by. I feel like they can get by with Skylar Thompson. If he's going to miss the entire season and they play well over the next couple of weeks and they remain in contention, then maybe they do look at a move. Maybe you do find out, you do pick up the phone and call the Carolina Panthers and say, hey, he was the one pick last year. It seems like you're done with him. Can we take a shot? You know, Russell Wilson, if Justin Fields is going to hold the Steelers job, those kinds of names will get tossed around. But I think for now, Skylar Thompson is a guy who's been there a number of years. He knows the offense. They feel good about him. You know, we saw him play in that playoff game. That's two seasons ago. You know, he's had two full off seasons and an entire regular season to improve and to learn under those coaches. So I think the Dolphins expect to see more from him than they did at that point because they feel like he's advanced as a player. If they don't, I think they got to look at other options. But right now, he's what they have. And their job is to coach him up and get him ready to play this week.
On another note, you are the New Orleans Saints. Hembo are basically, he is the Panthers and Cowboys combined. You are 36-16 against Hembo in trivia on GetUp. What was this morning's win like? Because when that question came out, for people may have missed it, throw that question at about rookie of the year quarterback and sacks and everything else. I'm on my couch going, I got no damn idea. And you drilled it. You drilled it. Take us through it.
Well, first of all, there's a lot of pressure to win today because Hembo had been out a while and he's on baby leave. And so it hadn't been him in a while, been other researchers filling in. But obviously, we don't keep a scoreboard for that. It's Hembo. So I couldn't welcome him back with a win. You have to make sure everybody knows, like, you know, if in case you forgot, you've been distracted by your young children and your lack of sleep,
right? Yeah.
I'm still running this show, right? like you know, I don't want you to get comfortable here and think that anything's changed while you were away. So I had it down to Cam Newton and Kyler Murray. I knew Cam Newton won the award. I didn't remember if Kyler Murray had won the award, but we went through like the whole first round that year. You know, the other quarterbacks were Daniel Jones and unfortunately, the late Dwayne Haskins, and it just wasn't anybody that stood out. It was Josh Jacobs that had won that could have won the award. So I just took a Hail Mary, and there it was.
And there it was.
Another
and
W.
Cam Newton ended up not. I think he ended up. Cam Newton, I think, ended up being like fourth or fifth on the list, right?
So not you even were close. Yeah, I think Tyler took 49 sacks, and Cam had 35. So that wouldn't even have been a good guess, as it turns out. I thought it was, but sometimes you get lucky. You know,
you got lucky, huh? But you knew your stuff. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider. Thanks, Graz, as always.
My pleasure, as always.
It is pretty remarkable, his record against Hembo. He's the best at it.
36-16, and those questions are not. This morning, I'm on my couch going, I got no shot. Yeah. I love that segment, right? That little bit they do. And I had zero chance. None.
I did not remember that Kyler Murray won Rookie of the Year.
In step with you. No idea.
It was about sacks on a quarterback who'd won Rookie of the Year, and I did not remember that Kyler.
Dude drilled it.
Yeah, and Graz knew, or Graz guessed anyways. He wasn't sure, but like it was a
touchdown pass for Graz.
Darn good guess. Coming up next year on Amber and Ian, we are going to sound on, sound off, NFL style. That's headed your way right here on ESPN Radio. You can also listen to us, of course, on the ESPN app.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod.
Eagles fans all up in the Menchies. They are not happy with last night. They want to blame everybody. They want everybody fired. You can find us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed at Ian Fitz. ESPN is how you find him. You can find me at Amber W Sports. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. We talked, of course, about the fallout from Monday Night Football. We talked about a lot of things tonight. If you missed anything here, check out the podcast on the ESPN app. But right now, we've got to get to...
They love you in Philly, right?
They love me in Philly. Well, actually, what's funny is the fans in my mentions aren't going after me. They're going after who to blame. The blame game is the game of
they're
the
blaming
last
everybody.
They're not blaming you?
Well, I'm surprised they're not, actually. They probably don't remember what I said on First Take about them. But they are...
What'd you say about them? Let's remind them.
A lot of Sirianni. It was before last season, though, that I said that they were going to take a step back and the Cowboys were going to win the division, and it was the craziest thing anyone's ever said. And then that's exactly what happened.
You don't remember the victory lap she took last year? Oh, my gosh.
She takes a victory lap every night, much less last year.
Nobody loves a victory lap more than Amber Wilson.
She made a TikTok. I don't think she's ever made a TikTok since.
It was awesome. My TikTok got more views than I think any other reel ever. And I think I've made two TikToks. I'm two and done on TikTok. I knocked it out of the park. I'm ready to go home. I can't keep up with TikTok. It's too much. I cannot do all this social media.
In 1 year of doing a show with you, Amber, I think I've heard you utter the words, "I was wrong," once. And I think we clipped it. And that was it.
And
so,
I didn't mean to. Also, you caught
clearly.
Me. It was a weak moment. I was distracted. James was saying something in my ear, and I think I was referencing something else, and I was wrong, came out of my mouth, and I've regretted it every minute since that time.
You got Graz going, I was Hall of Fame football wrong. I say I'm wrong every week. Amber, she could be 1,000,000% incorrect, know it, but you will never hear her utter the words, "I was wrong."
No, you have to be wrong in order to claim you're wrong. I mean, it's not my fault that
she
it rarely ever happens.
Way out of it.
Let's sound on, sound off.
They said it, but what did they really mean?
What are you trying to say to us?
Sound on, sound off with Amber and Ian.
About to be wrong about these New Orleans Saints, though. Tell you what, a lot of people are about to be wrong about them, apparently.
Not this guy.
That's true. Although you didn't believe like this, and that's your team.
No, hell no.
Nobody believed
nothing,
like this.
No. It's 2 weeks, though. Yeah. We really don't know what a football team has until we hit that first quarter mark, you know, 4 games in. So I always tap the brakes on everything until 4 weeks in.
James,
okay.
Hello.
So the Los Angeles Rams, they're pretty banged up. They're 0-2.
Understatement.
Yeah, they're 0-2. They're in a tough division. What happens if things get even worse for them this year? Dan Orlovsky was on NFL Live today, and he wondered if there would be a time this season where they would consider trading their quarterback.
How real is it, the conversation of can we and will we trade Matthew Stafford in 2 weeks?
You're saying just reset and start over.
Wow. Okay, so all those names, four out of five starting offensive linemen, the two wide receivers, some defensive people, if you sit down as an organization and say those are extended period of times that is going to be missed, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks, your season is realistically done. Yep. It just realistically is. Then you have this quarterback that, you know, this was, it felt like almost an all-in year type of season, maybe next year as well. If you're sitting there with that extended period of time, I do think it's worth sitting down as an organization and saying, how real is this for us?
Ian, can you see a scenario where the Rams just completely bail on this season and start their rebuild and trade Matthew Stafford?
This year, no. And Stafford's so mentally tough. I mean, he dealt with it for so many years in Detroit that you wouldn't hear him complain one time. What's he got? So he is signed through the 2026 season.
Yeah, he just signed an extension. But so it was really kind of a restructure.
Yeah, yeah.
He gave up his 2025 right. guarantees. He's getting $23.5 million guaranteed this year and $12.5 signing bonus and $4 by March. So
And we just saw, they just going back to last year when he had guys around him, the dude can still play at an elite level. So if you're looking for a quarterback, you know, and GMs do this all the time, I wouldn't even wait to the end of the year. I would be on the phone to the Rams, you know, and Snead and saying, all right, what would you want for Stafford after the year's over? Because I don't think Stafford's not going to go to another team and start this year. You're not going to learn a new system that quickly, even a guy as brilliant as he is. So could I see him after the year is done, you know, maybe Stafford being shopped and traded? Yeah, I could see that easily.
What is the market at that point for a 37-year-old quarterback? Like, yeah, he's still good. He had the elbow injury. He was able to come back from that. But we are talking about a 37-year-old who then would be making 27 base next year and 26 the year after that.
Just saw
the guarantees
Kirk Cousins
aren't all there
if
anymore.
If you believe you're one quarterback away, you make that move. The Falcons just did
he's
it.
Almost a $54 million cap hit.
There's a team. There's
over
a team,
25 and 26.
There's a team not far from him who's starting Gardner Minshew right now. You know,
Gardner Minshew's a lot younger. I just wonder, what are you giving up for him though? Like in this scenario, we're not just paying him. We're not just paying a 37-year-old. In this scenario, we're trading assets for a 37-year-old quarterback. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I mean, he's obviously a good quarterback. He's been a solid quarterback his entire career. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I get all of that. But I don't know what that market would look like in a trade type scenario. I'm not sure it would be worth it, in other words, for the Rams. I'm not sure they'd get enough back for them to hit that reset button and for it to all seem worth it, frankly, at that point.
So there's a report that Mike Tomlin gave Russell Wilson a, quote, penny game ball after the Steelers beat the Broncos in week 2. He was asked about it today. And he completely avoided the question, but also he is the master of giving us great sound bites. Here you go.
None of your businesses, respectfully. There's certain things that go on among teams that I don't talk about. Whether it gets out or how it gets out is unimportant to me, and I'm not overly guarded against it. But it's just certain things as a leader that I talk to the collective about that I have zero intentions of sharing with the larger public, because it's about our collective and how we come together and how we appreciate and support one another. You know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
I love that guy. It's so good. And Justin Fields being new probably didn't know to keep the petty game ball in-house. Whenever you beat an opponent, especially on the road, whomever used to play or got cut by that team or was dismissed by that team gets a petty game ball.
That's exactly what that was. Yeah. That's Coach angry that Justin Fields went out there to the media and told the truth, by the way, and was transparent about it, about Russell Wilson getting a game ball, because apparently that's what they do there in Pittsburgh when you beat your former
and
team.
Two other Steelers.
Even if you weren't on the field.
Two other guys got petty game balls.
Right. So that's just the thing that they do. Yeah. They all get the petty game ball when you're playing it, which is an awesome deal. But Tomlin saying to the press that it's not your businesses cracks me up, because that's quite literally their business. Like, there is nothing else that is your business than finding out information about the Pittsburgh Steelers if you're on the Steelers beat. Coming up next, plenty more right here on Amber and Ian.